Web Talk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com.
You're with Web Talk at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to us from around the world. We do our best to bring the internet to you in a really personal way, one-to-one, right here on the show every week, and we do our best to keep you plugged into the latest net trends and the coolest internet-connected tech toys. And on the other mic is...
Dana Greenlee, that would be me. I'm excited this week, Rob. We have some interesting news, some good topics coming up this week.
Political ads online are starting to go below the belt.
Organic versus paid search results. Which do you click? How do you get Google IPO shares?
We will also talk about how the IPO cash that Google is getting will change Google.
And why is meetup.com such a craze offline?
When Google goes IPO, more will change than just Google getting lots of cash. The biggest question is, once they get that cash, what kind of change will happen to the company and how profound that will be? People are saying they are selling out. And the other question is, how much brain drain will they experience over the next year? David Berkowitz from eMarketer.com joins us to explain the big Google challenge that is coming.
They'll definitely get bigger. There's a lot of room for growth, and they have far fewer staff people than eBay and Yahoo. And they've been a pretty stingy company so far, but they've got to have big eyes right now.
The internet is often blamed for being a too easy substitution for real life. Well, thanks to New York City-based Meetup.com, the web's now becoming more of a place to easily hang with the hometown netizens in a real-world location just around the corner from you. Miles Weisleder, Meetup.com's VP of Communication, will join us shortly to talk about the company's world-changing vision for bringing people together again.
The Meetup story of thousands of people coming together, the American community is coming back together. There's a trend here. People want to meet up. And that story is essentially a local story in every little town. We're just kind of in the background, you know. We just kind of make it happen.
It's time for a brief summary of what's happening this week around the web.
Well, Dana, what is happening out there is a lot of the political ads that are starting to show up online are starting to really hit below the belt.
Oh, you mean the mudslinging has begun?
Yes, it has.
But, you know, there's reform laws that say you can't do certain things like that, but I guess...
It doesn't apply to the net. It doesn't apply online. There's a lot of laws and rules that regulate how media can be used in a political campaign, and we're talking about the political presidential campaigns, but that doesn't apply to the net. So there's a lot of things going on online that just wouldn't happen in the regular media.
It's funny. It's like the Wild West is back again for the web because, you know, back in 99, it was still the Wild West, the Gold Rush. We could all do anything we wanted to. And it's almost like they haven't discovered that the internet can influence campaigns. Hello. And so it was a quote here. You go in, you sling your mud, you hit below the belt, you get the heck out of Dodge before anybody knows you did the dirty deeds.
Yeah, because nobody has to be accountable for any of this stuff. So it's also being called the free fire zone is what they call it.
So what are some examples of what's happening?
Well, I mean, really, I think that the biggest thing that you're seeing is that you're seeing media used in a very targeted way to drive a particular message to a particular audience online and using video and audio to actually do that in ways that just cannot be done in the television world. And it's really kind of opening up a whole nother can of worms too, because groups and rich folks can put together political campaigns for their favorite candidates online and not have to contribute to that candidate. And so what's happening is a lot of the campaign finance laws are being sidestepped because people can go directly and buy advertising, and that candidate doesn't have to endorse any ad that runs online where they have to do that in the television and radio arena.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. It has to be endorsed on television, not on the internet.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of people that are crying that because of the internet's influence in campaigns, that there needs to be some campaign finance laws that apply to the World Wide Web as well.
Oh, more regulation. Oh, please leave it to be the Wild West still.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to have it wide open like that, isn't it?
I know. It's nasty. It's dirty. It's
throw
fun.
That mud.
Well, let's get down to some marketing talk with search engines. What is more popular? What do you click on most when you look up something in the search engine? Do you click on the paid ads? Do you click on the free organic ads? Well, you think that would be an easy question to answer, right?
Yeah, but it's not as obvious as you might think. You know, and one of the things we should probably define, too, the term organic. It seems such a cool term, you know. It's been thrown around. But basically what organic means is all those free search engine listings. And Google and Yahoo are notorious, or I shouldn't say notorious, but they're famous for their free listings. Mm-hmm. But if you start looking at the MSN folks and AOL, it's a much higher percentage of paid inclusion or sponsored links that come up in those search results.
The survey that was done actually determined of typical surfers, of the four top search engines, Google, Yahoo, MSN, AOL, if they clicked on, more likely clicked on those organic or the paid ones. And typically, at Google, Yahoo, it was the organic ads. But MSN, more likely they clicked on the paid. And they're kind of thinking maybe that was because paid is everywhere, maybe. And it's not as clearly defined like mm-hmm. at Google. They clearly say these are paid placement ads.
Yeah, and this is a kind of a fascinating thing. That's why I wanted to raise it here, is that Google and Yahoo are really using a lot of organic listings to drive users, and that's what people want to find. But what's interesting is AOL, it's 50% on both sides, which means that they're actually being able to effectively use paid inclusion and organic inclusion, and that's a way for a company to make more money. So the MSN folks and AOL are actually making more money off of their search results than Yahoo and Google. It's just that Yahoo and Google have higher volume.
Ooh, search engines and making money. Well, what does that make me think of now?
IPO, Google, making money. Yeah.
Okay, well, we promised last week we'd talk about how to get involved in this IPO.
Well, we did a little research there, and there's actually five stages to the process. The first thing you have to do is get qualified, then there's a bidding process, and then there's an auction kind of closing. Then you obviously have to deal with pricing and allocation of shares, and those are really the five steps. But really what you have to do is you got to get qualified in order to bid, and that really requires you to submit a bid to one of the two underwriters, which is Morgan Stanley or First Boston. And in order for you to even buy a share of Google, you have to be accepted by those underwriters. And fortunately, they are accepting customers over the internet. So you could actually apply to be able to be a customer of one of those two underwriters.
That's just weird.
But not everybody's going to qualify, because both of those companies have requirements for like income and minimum dollar amounts that you would have to open an account with. And sometimes that can be a lot of money.
Hmm.
So it's not a clear process, but Google does have a fairly fair process on how they are going to allocate these shares and set the pricing based on what the highest bidding price is out there for their shares at the moment. So that's
has
kind
this been
of a,
done before, do you think, like this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. It has. It's not as common, though, to have kind of a public offering like this. It's usually done in more of a closed manner, where there's more of the major stock buyers out there. You know, the folks that run mutual funds will actually come in and buy large blocks of shares. But they're trying to open up to everybody. So I'd really just kind of keep an eye on what's going on with Google, but especially keep an eye on what's going on with those two underwriters, Morgan Stanley and First Boston.
So, Rob, are you going to buy something? You going to qualify?
I don't know. I'm not really all that hot on Google as a stock, especially this particular offering, which is a Class A common stock. So I'm not really that hot about it. I just don't think it's going to make anybody that much money at this point. Support for WebTalk every week is provided by web.com, the most trusted name on the net. And if you're looking for a domain name, they've got some great ones at a low price of $4.95 per year. And you can also get a website hosted for $7.95 per month at web.com.
And don't forget our friends over at InfoCreek.com. Visit their website. They design websites. They have pretty nice looking websites themselves. Take a sneak peek at the WebTalk Guys website. Eventually will come out. InfoCreek.com is doing it for us. Well, if you were teased a little bit by the Google IPO talk we had just a second ago, hang in there because we're inviting in David Berkowitz from eMarketer.com. He's a pretty aware guy when it comes to Google's IPO, and he's here to tell us some of the information that he's gathered.
This is Web Talk Radio. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. Welcome back to Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com. And my name is Rob Greenlee.
And this is Dana Greenlee. Well, when Google goes IPO, more things will change than just Google going IPO. They're going to get a lot of cash. And the biggest question is, will this cash change them? And if so, how profoundly?
People are saying they are going to be selling out. And some of the other questions are, how much brain drain will they experience over the next year when all those millionaires leave? David Berkowitz from eMarketer.com joins us to explain the big Google change that is coming. David, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Hey, let's talk about the future of Google's IPO here and what you guys are seeing as what the possibilities are. And I think that there's some pressing questions that are still out there about what's going to happen with this IPO and how it's going to kind of flesh out over time here. With all this cash, the $2.7 billion that Google is looking like they're going to get here, how's that going to change the company, do you think?
Well, they'll definitely get bigger. There's a lot of room for growth. And right now, I was reading something how they have far fewer staff people than eBay and Yahoo. And, and they've been a pretty stingy company so far, but they've got to have big eyes right now.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Well, plus, some of the numbers that are coming out of this are pretty mind-boggling. What they're looking at over $1 billion in sales this year and what, $250 million in profit. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well. And so, you know, when you think about what they can do with that internally and you know, the kinds of acquisitions that'll be open to them, they've got a big playground out there.
Yeah, they certainly do.
David, do you want to speculate at all? Just to, you know, you mentioned acquisitions. Can you think of anybody that they should you would recommend to them to buy?
It's tough to say, and good question. I'm not sure they'd want to heed any of my recommendations.
Well, you never know.
I'd say buy eMarketer.
Oh, yeah. and WebTalk guys while they're at it.
That's right. Just throw that cash around a little bit.
Exactly.
Well, certainly there's a lot of people saying that they're selling out here by going IPO and kind of losing that purity that they've had as far as that internet company. You know, what's your thought on that? Do you think that's going to happen?
I'm really not sure that they needed to do it in the first place. And it does seem to come with as many minuses as it does pluses, especially considering that they were such a healthy company, one not particularly in need of lots of cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might have some master plan that they're not letting everyone else in on yet.
It may go no further than just the vested employees kind of want to, you know, buy that boat.
Exactly. And you know, there has to be a lot of pressure there from the employees and also their investors who are making mints and will be when this all goes down.
Really, the big question is how many people are they going to lose because of this? Because when all those people become instant millionaires, I mean, you know, Microsoft went through this. A lot of the big tech companies went through this back in the dot-com boom days, is that people start leaving and they go off and start their own companies or whatever. Do you think that's going to have a significant impact on these guys?
I think it'll have an impact, but I don't think it'll be as bad. And a big reason is because of the brand that Google has built.
Okay.
Microsoft is a very powerful brand, but Google is a brand that people would die for.
That's true.
And to have that kind of loyalty, they still might lose a bunch of people who will take the money and run. But I think that they'll be able to get a great infusion of new people if they need to. On top of it, there's just not a lot else out there for people to go to.
Yeah,
so there aren't dozens of these big dot-com brands that are all sort of vying for the mindset in the hearts of the programmers and researchers and everyone else that Google is going to want to go after. It's really just Google right now. That's where the whole spotlight is. And so between their brand and their sole spotlight right now, I think that it won't be too big of an impact.
David, you know, you at eMarketer have your ear totally to the ground when it comes to Google and anything that's shaking, you know, as far as the big dot-com companies. But I want to know what you think the offering price will be, and when do you think this is going to happen? Do you have any speculation on that?
I'm not too sure, especially as far as what the offering price will be. I've been reading a lot more about what the possible market cap will end up being when it all goes down, and there's talk of it anywhere from $20 billion to $40 billion is the basic range I'm seeing, which is insane.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But they probably deserve it, too, if you really match up Google as a brand compared to other $40 billion market caps. It's probably right up there.
It's kind of questionable. Are they really there with, say, Nike and FedEx on the lower end of it, or half of the entire Time Warner company on the higher end, which is, you know, what that range would equate to. And when it's put in perspective that way, I mean, even on the lower end, it would surpass Lockheed Martin, in the New York Times was commenting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure that those paid search ads are worth that much.
Well, yeah, and it does seem like that they're declining a little bit in how effective they are, and at least how it's being done right now. I think Google is struggling in some of the areas of their paid search areas, at least from what I'm seeing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they've totally figured it out yet, and I think it's something that's evolving and changing.
And they do a fantastic job with it, but also the growth in it will not be as quick as it has been.
Yeah.
So that alone will have an impact on Google's bottom line.
Do you think Google is going to become more like Yahoo over time? And really, do you think Google going to influence how Yahoo turns out in the end?
Well, I think it'll be great for Yahoo when it comes down to it to have some really tough competition and someone that Yahoo really needs to face off with, because they've been doing really well on their own separately.
Mm-hmm.
As for Google, there are signs that it wants to be more like Yahoo. Of course, Gmail being a big sign of that. And, you know, it's little forays into things like Frugal, wants a piece of that e-commerce action. But Yahoo is huge.
Yeah.
And there's Yahoo Finance and Yahoo Sports and all these areas of community and e-commerce and various ad-supported offerings and subscription offerings that, you know, Yahoo's really earned the tens of millions of registered users that it has, and Google basically has none right now.
Well, and that raises a very good question. That's one of the big distinctions, I think, between Yahoo and Google, is that Yahoo has registered members, and it seems like that Google's definitely on track toward doing that with this Gmail service and the social networking things that they're starting to do, where people are, Google is starting to gather registrations and membership. And do you see them going in that direction ultimately?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will be very happy to give as much personal information as Google wants to collect.
Well, I think so too, from what I've seen, yeah.
Even if you look at companies like the New York Times Online, where people have no problem registering at places that they want information and services from. And again, Google's brand favorability is through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also you've got Google really facing some tough questions. They've had roots in just being so razor-focused on search. But there's this whole other side like we're talking about with Yahoo, where that they have these other revenue opportunities. If they start heading in those directions, that's going to take their focus a little bit off of search. That's what their bread and butter is. You think that's going to have a problem?
That very well could be a problem. Another problem is how many other things can they do very well? Let's say that, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, they still realize they're a search company first, and they keep that very strong. What else can they do that well?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of pressure that if they're going to get into something new, they have to do it a lot better than anyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
Social networking is an interesting thing because right now, for instance, there's really not much money in it.
No, that's right.
No money in it the way Google's doing it. And it's just, you know, such an experimental trend area that, and Google's definitely not doing better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that shows a couple possible chinks in its armor, and if it tries to spread itself too thin.
David, in our last 30 seconds, just any parting thoughts on your impression of Google, and then definitely tell us a little bit about eMarketer and how people can find out more about what you do.
Well, my parting thoughts on Google are that it has proven to be a great innovative company. They've defied expectations for several years now. No one really saw this whole maelstrom coming. So you can't really underestimate them just yet. But within a year of them filing, then people are going to rightfully be asking a lot more questions about just, you know, how far they've come.
Yeah. Yeah.
As for eMarketer, we're a research firm that looks at stats on the internet and e-business from over 1,600 sources, and you can find us online at eMarketer.com. We also have a free daily newsletter you can subscribe to.
That's good.
Great, David. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
It's great to speak with you. Finally, we've traded so many emails over the many months.
We've been talking with David Berkowitz from eMarketer.com about Google's impending IPO. Don't go anywhere, because in just a second, Miles Weisleder of Meetup.com will be joining us to talk about how you can get involved in the real world again.
This is Web Talk Radio. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophosts.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. This is Web Talk Radio, and thank you for listening today. And my name is Rob Greenlee.
This is Dana Greenlee. Well, I know I tend to spend a lot of quality screen time, probably much more than I do quality family time. And it's not just the net's fault. The net is simply the medium in order for us to reach out to the world community at just a click of the mouse. Well, thanks to New York City-based meetup.com, the web is becoming more of a place to easily hang with our hometown netizens in a real-world location that's just around the corner from where we live. In fact, meetup.com's helped facilitate over 1.2 million people to attend gatherings with people that like the same things they do right in their own neighborhoods. Finding topics for meetups that turn you on is real easy because they have about 4,000 interests listed at the site, anything from vegetarians to poker players, Atkins dieters, and of course, George Bush and John Kerry political fans. In fact, it's the political meetups that have put the company really at the front and center during this year's campaign season.
Miles Wiesletter, who is meetup.com's vice president of communications, is on the line with us. Miles, thank you for joining us on the show.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Great. Hey, for those that may live under a rock who may not have heard of meetup.com, why don't you run through for us what you guys do and how it works?
Sure. Well, meetup.com is a free service on the internet that helps people connect with their like-minded neighbors. Essentially, there is an international meetup day on just about any imaginable topic that takes place once a month in thousands of cities around the world on the same night. And folks are meeting up at local cafes and coffee shops and restaurants and bars, and connecting with their neighbors. And that's what we set out to do, is just provide a service to help folks connect and to hopefully revitalize the local community.
Now, I understand that, you know, your origins were not necessarily political, although when I think of meetup.com, I think of, you know, let's talk about Dean or whatever.
Sure.
But tell us what you really started out to do.
Let me give you a quick little history lesson.
Yeah.
Sure.
We were largely inspired by this fantastic book called Bowling Alone, written by Dr. Robert Putnam. He's a Harvard sociologist. And in this book, Dr. Putnam theorized on how and why civic participation in America is at an all-time low. And one of the statistics that really resonated with us was, this is what Putnam stated, that 40 years ago, 40% of Americans were involved in some sort of civic activity, some community activity outside the home. You know, along the lines of a Lions Club or a Kiwanis Club or a bowling league or PTA meeting. So folks were getting out and about and meeting with their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to today, that number is more like 4% of Americans are getting out and about. And there are a number of reasons for this, largely attributed to folks having to work more. They're having to commute to work a little longer. They are spending a lot more time in front of screens, their television, their computer, and now their network computers. And basically are spending a lot more time alone versus interacting with their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
The book and that statistic was largely the impetus for the creation of Meetup. Two other anecdotal parts of the primordial stew, one of which was Scott Heiferman, our fearless CEO, was dragged out to a party on some random sidewalk in New York City in celebration of the then new Lord of the Rings movie that was coming out, where all of a sudden all of these Lord of the Rings geeks found each other in some random sidewalk in New York. And Scott was thinking, wow, that's kind of cool that all of these random strangers are connecting here.
Mm-hmm.
And then came 9/11, where in New York City, people were clamoring for some local connectivity. Folks were finally looking at each other in the eyes again. So those three things were really, you know, set a design challenge in front of us, essentially, and how to create a platform that helped connect people locally. The internet does a great job of how you can have a conversation with somebody in Spain on, you know, how to make tortillas on the internet, right, on a message board or in some chat room. And it crosses borders around the world, and it's, you know, real easy to pick up a conversation. But the internet really until now failed miserably at helping people connect locally. So that's what we chose to do, is build this tool, a platform that can connect anyone with their neighbors over any interest, you name it.
That's what's really fascinating about this, is that you guys are using an electronic medium to create real world connections and meetings it seems like that the internet would be best used to connect people over the internet, you know, and have that interaction happen online. But what you guys are doing is shifting it over to the real world, because people maybe aren't going out and getting involved in these civic organizations, but probably you guys are under the assumption that they really want to. They just need to be facilitated better. Is that
exactly. And history shows that amazing things happen when people meet up, right? People, you know, Johnny Cash sings a bunch of songs on how lonely it can be, yeah, how he wishes he was with somebody, or, you know, just, you know, name any blues artist that can, you know, sing you a song. I think the greatest misperception out there is that, you know, here's the internet, this cold, sterile environment of connected computers. Yeah, that's true, but you know what? There's a human being on the other end of every one of those terminals.
You bet.
Flesh and blood needs flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you give us some good examples, Miles, of, and it doesn't have to be the most popular, but the various and sundry and odd and quirky meetups that you've seen come across your table.
Oh, goodness. You know, right now we are witnessing about 5,000 meetups taking place every single month.
Mm.
Really? That's amazing.
You know, they range from the quirky, it's hard to say quirky, because what I'm calling quirky is somebody's passion.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that one, right?
Yeah. Well, some of the more interesting topics, you know, range from, you know, we have a large witch and Wiccan population that uses Meetup. So I have to be careful. No spells this way, people. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the goth community is finding some great successes through Meetup. I just received an email the other day on how there's some two goths had met each other and now they're getting married. So there's a neat little heartwarming story there.
Yeah.
Some of the surprising meetups that we didn't forecast, along the lines with political meetups, and I can get into that in a second, but languages. People are now, once a month, there's a regular Spanish-speaking meetup taking place in your town, or Italian or Russian, you name it, that folks are coming together to practice their language. Wow. That's something that you can't do on the internet, right?
That's right.
Same goes for, like, the doggy meetups. We have pug lovers, you know, International Pug Meetup Day. You go
doggy
to Austin,
meetups.
Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, you go to Austin, Texas on Pug Meetup Day, and there are going to be 100 pugs, you know, in the park. And it takes place all around the country.
Yeah.
That, too, the dogs can't play with each other on the computer. You got to bring them to the park.
That's so right.
We help bring that together. Now, with regard to politics, yeah, you know, it was Howard Dean and some of the other Democratic potential nominees that really tapped our service and helped put us on the map. It can be said that we certainly helped put Howard Dean on the map at his peak. He had just shy of 200,000 people registered for his meetups. His largest meetup total was about 1,000 meetups taking place around the nation. It was fantastic. All of these people coming together for a common cause. But the funny thing about this whole thing is that we did not build Meetup as a political tool. The politics kind of found us. And I think had we built it as a political tool and we had the whiteboard out and tried to figure this all out, we would have fallen on our faces and it wouldn't happen. You know, plenty of smart people had tried and failed to do this before. You know, the fact that it's a platform that just kind of nails down the where and the when was all that was really required for people that were passionate about a candidate. In this case, it was Dean in the beginning that really, really, you know, made the service take off and kind of opened some eyes in the political world.
Yeah, but it's still, I think, a fairly small piece of the amount of meetups that you guys have. I would think as you grow this thing, even overseas, which it looks like cities around the world that are actually picking up on this is growing pretty fast.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of topics out there. And also, are you guys getting into the kind of the foreign language version of your website to facilitate these meetups?
That is coming soon. We do understand that not everybody out there speaks English. So, you know, we're going to answer that soon. We just launched what we're calling version 2.5 of Meetup last week. Added some nice features that our members have been asking for.
Why don't you run down those features?
We're making it easier for them to communicate with each other in between the various meetups. There are more robust message boards currently in place to continue the conversation. We set a minimum requirement of 5 RSVPs or else the meetup is going to be canceled. Now, we understand that, you know, there might be 4 very, very hungry and eager people that want to meet up over a particular topic, and they just don't have that 5th person that kind of pushes it over the top. Now, through the message boards, folks can kind of still meet up on their own pretense. That's not necessarily through the service. We want meetups to happen no matter what. We set the number at 5 for primarily safety reasons and user experience. even though five people say they're going to show up, you know, only one or two does. We can't control the flake factor out there. So I've been to meetups before where, you know, only one or two people show up. And at first you're a little disappointed because you kind of want, you know, want to have a party or not a party, but you want to have a conversation with a bunch of people. But at the end of the night, you know, I left thinking, wow, you know, I made a great connection tonight. Mm-hmm. So to me, the meetup was a success.
We're having a conversation with Miles Wieslater about meetup.com. If you're enjoying it, stick with us because there'll be more with Miles in just a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Web Talk Guys, the evolution of Internet Radio.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
You're back with Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and I have Dana Greenlee in here with me again.
And joining us on the phone is Miles Wieslater. He's Meetup.com's VP of Communication. He's been talking about the history of how Meetup got started and all the things that we can do with it as far as connecting with people in the real world.
They're really strong in working with the political campaigns out there, and there's a lot of meetups that happen all over the country on a regular basis for the presidential candidates like George Bush and John Kerry.
Miles, tell us what meetup you went to lately. I'm curious because you see them all.
Yeah,
you know, I poke my head into just different ones just to kind of see what's going on out there. Not too long ago, I went to a knitting meetup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. What's the process that a person would have to go through to set up a meetup, you know, on your site? I mean, I'm sure anybody can come to the site and set up a meeting if they want.
You know, it's real lickety-split. It's so easy. Chances are that the topic or the interest or the meetup that you want to have, there's already an international meetup day set up for it. There are over 4,000 topics listed in there, you know, it runs the gamut. Mm-hmm. So chances are that you're going to find it. In the case that it's not there, we make it easy for folks to suggest different meetups. And so long as it passes real simple criteria in that it's not too localized in nature, it's got to have some broad appeal to it. So long as it's not designed to hurt physically or emotionally, it's not hate-centric or adult-themed, it's probably going to fly. But let's say it's already in there. All you have to do is find your topic, put in your zip code, create a username and password, real simple, and then vote. For a local venue, you will see a list of options, you know, ranging from a local coffee shop on the corner to a bookstore or whatnot. And if you don't like any of those choices, we make it easy for you to choose other venues in your town that are in our database to kind of bring them into the voting queue. We allow people to nominate new venues, but we kind of reserve that for our premium members. So you vote for a local spot, and then a week prior to the meetup date that takes place on the same day every month of the year, whether it's the first Tuesday or the second Wednesday. So a week prior to that meetup date, you will be requested to RSVP for the venue that got the most votes. It's all, you know, democracy rules here. So if you say, oh, that's cool, I'll go to Ray's Pizza for this meetup. So you RSVP, and so long as five or more people say yes, the meetup is a go. And all you have to do then is show up.
Wow.
And have a good time.
If you could just touch on the fact that you mentioned earlier it's free, but that you also mentioned there's a premium membership. So how does the dollars work out?
How do the dollars work out? Well, we are a real business.
That's why we asked the question, are you guys making money off of membership, or how do you guys make everything pencil out?
Yeah, we learned lessons, you know, in the boom years.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of us that run Meetup have been knee-deep, ankle-deep, chest deep, whatever, in the internet since, you know, the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we know kind of what works and what doesn't. What doesn't work is building a huge 100-person organization and spending millions of dollars on advertising and having banner ads and pop-ups on your site. That doesn't work.
No.
We're keeping it lean and mean. We're only about 24 people that, you know, create thousands of meetups around the world. And how do we make money? Well, venues, local spots, pay to be listed as potential meetup spots.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, we have, you know, tens of thousands of venues in our database. Obviously, not all of them are paying. Dog parks, libraries, etc. We have a sales team that goes out and convinces, or doesn't take a lot of convincing to tell a coffee shop that you can have 2 dozen people in here drinking coffee on a random Tuesday night that you wouldn't have otherwise.
That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. I mean, that was a great idea you guys came up with to generate sales like that.
Sure. So it's venues come to us, basically. So that's one way. Second is partnerships with certain organizations or political candidates or mm-hmm. associations that find value in bringing people together. Example of that would be the John Kerry campaign right now. They mm-hmm. pay for certain, a little more custom ability, some opportunity to message and create agendas.
Branding, logos, those kind of things?
Not so much logos. No, everything's real text-based on Meetup.
Okay.
One of the things that our partners really look for is like, well, we want to build our email database. And our privacy policy is so ironclad strict that we will not rent, share, lend, give away email addresses to anyone. But with a Meetup, let's say for a candidate, we have a module where people can essentially opt in to share their email address with the campaign if they haven't done so already. So that's one of the things that organizations kind of like from us. But it's completely opt-in, double opt-in. We're not in the business of data mining and, giving away personal information by any means. So organizations pay us. And thirdly, we have what we call Meetup Plus. It is a premium service. Meetups will be free for you and me and everybody. You don't have mm-hmm. to pay to use Meetup. All we do is kind of ask you to patronize the venue and buy a slice of pizza or a cup of coffee or whatnot. But for folks that are really involved, invested in their Meetup group, and maybe they're leading their own chapter of the Pug Meetup in their town or whatnot, they get some more added bells and whistles, ranging from what we call Meetup Notebook. They can post notes and create agenda items for their Meetup that are voted on by other Meetup Plus members. So basically, you can have a soapbox. If your agenda item is resonates well with the other people that are registered for that Meetup, you can have the top agenda item for the Meetup as it takes place all around the world.
Wow.
You can post your photos. You can nominate venues. Things like that are reserved for the premium members. And you know what? It's only about $3 a month. And those are really the three main ways we make money. We've been dabbing a little bit with Google AdWords on the side mm-hmm. of our site.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's not one of the stronger revenue sources. We're just kind of playing with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not putting banner ads or pop up ads on our website. And so far, we've been near profitable. We've invested a lot of money in development of this version that I just talked about, 2.5. We got some really, really great things in the queue coming up this summer that we're, spending money on development on. So that kind of takes us a little bit away from profitability, but we're moving in that direction really strong.
Mm-hmm. One of the really fun things about your site that I've noticed is your logo. And how it's always changing from page to page, and it's like a handwritten label that you would wear at a meeting.
Right.
So who actually came up with that idea? What's the future of that concept? Are you guys going to keep going with that? Or?
Absolutely. A lot of what you're seeing up there have been actually sent in to us by Meetup members.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly dynamic. And that just kind of, that's kind of our MO there. It's very decentralized. The Meetup story, this story of thousands of people coming together, there's a real story that's being built that the American community is coming back together. There's a trend here. People want to meet up.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is essentially a local story in every little town.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of in the background, We just kind of make it happen. The fact that the logo is different every single time just kind of speaks to that individuality, that decentralized nature mm-hmm. of the service.
Mm-hmm.
As to who came up with it, I'd have to go check. I'm not sure.
Okay. Miles, it was great having you on the show.
Hey, Rob and Dana, thank you for having me. I hope I answered some good questions.
Oh, you did. It was terrific. And, you really shared a lot of light on what you guys are trying to accomplish here at meetup.com. And we appreciate all the efforts you guys are doing, and we'll follow you real closely.
Excellent, excellent. A lot of exciting things in the future, and I'll definitely keep you guys posted.
Great, Miles. Thank you.
Thank you.
This wraps up Web Talk Radio for another week. But we don't want you to stop listening with this show. Check out 5 years worth of good content. We just celebrated our 5th anniversary of this show. And you go to webtalkradio.com, click on the archives. You've got a lot of content there. We're honored to be part of your lives, and we'll work hard to bring you great conversations from leaders and analysts from the internet world.
See you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.